and let's get into it. Let's pray one more time. Speak, Father, your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you, and we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we've talked about healing for some time, and this is what we have said. Hold on one moment. Let me get this straight for us. Here we go. Okay, good. We've talked about the fact that healing can occur on many different levels, right? Come on, wake up, right? Okay, good. We talked about the fact that healing can occur emotionally, right? We've talked about the fact that healing can occur spiritually. And this is important because many of us need to be healed on many of these different levels. Amen? Healing can occur mentally or psychologically. Healing can occur physically. Amen? Healing can occur relationally. We spent some time on that, and that was great, learning that sometimes the relationships that we're in are damaging us in ways that we don't even realize. That there's a such thing as a healthy relationship, and there's a such thing as a damaging and an unhealthy relationship. Amen? And so we need to be aware of the fact, we talked about this, that our relationships are not neutral. Amen? You remember? We talked about the fact relationships are not neutral. Not only are relationships with people not neutral, relationships with things are not neutral. Amen? There are things happening to us in both directions. Things are being added to us and taken away from us. We are being affected by, and we are affecting those things in which we are in relationship. Amen? Those people as well. We learned that healing oftentimes needs to occur as a result of some form of what? Trauma. That's right. Good. And by now we know that trauma is defined as a body wound or shock produced by sudden physical injury. And we know that one of the things that we talked about is trauma being an event that causes some form of injury to occur that we cannot address ourselves. We talked about the fact that if I need outside help in order to deal with it, that's one of the ways that I'm able to identify the fact that what I've experienced was traumatic. If I can deal with it myself, if I can address it myself, if I can heal it myself, then it's not traumatic. But if I need an outside resource, whether it's me going to seek medical help, whether it's me seeing a psychologist or a counselor, whether it's me talking to my pastor to get some help with something that I'm dealing with spiritually or emotionally, if I need outside help to deal with an injury, then that injury is very likely a traumatic injury. Amen? So if I need outside help, make sure you have these key concepts because this is the last time we're hitting this information this go around until the Lord brings it back. And make sure you understand if you need outside help to address it, it's traumatic. And let me just say this by the Spirit. You might be having received this message and received these teachings and now you're getting better, but there's somebody else in your life and you know that they're still struggling in a particular area where they need help. One of the ways that you're able to assist somebody else is letting them know that they need to get outside help if there's an injury that they've had and it's still occurring and it's not getting any better. You got a spouse, you got a loved one, you got a child, you have a family member, you have a friend, and something occurred that caused injury, and it has not gotten any better in a long time. Still isn't getting any better. They still limping emotionally, physically, spiritually. You might need to let them know, listen, you may need to talk to somebody. No, seriously, we have a stigma on that in our community, but you really should. Was just with a brother this weekend who's a counselor, a clinical counselor, and one of the things he said was profound. He said, if you got a toothache, you go see the dentist. If you break your bone, you go see an orthopedic doctor. You know, you got a headache or you had a cold for a long time and it gets bad. I this week I had to go see my doctor. I had a bad sinus infection. I went to the doctor, right? We need help in all those areas, we'll go. But if there's something mental that's bothering us or emotional bothering us, we won't go see a counselor. Now, you'll go get help in every other area of your life as soon as the pain occurs. But you may have known that you need help with addressing an emotional or spiritual issue for years, and yet you refuse to go get the help. When we need to recognize that if you're dealing with something like that, it may be a traumatic injury, and you may need to go get help in that area too. Thank God for Reverend Paul Ball, who brought that amazing teaching to my ears, and I'm able to share with you. Healing. What does it mean to heal? It means to make healthy, whole, or sound, to restore to health, to free from ailment, to bring to an end or conclusion, as conflicts between people or groups, usually with the strong implication of restoring former amity, to settle, to reconcile, to free from evil, to cleanse, to purify, to effect a cure. We talked about all of those different definitions, but the fifth one is the one that we really have harped on and that we enjoy, to become whole or to sound. God wants to make us what? Whole. That's important. Can you bring me down to the house a little bit? God wants us to be whole. Do you understand that? God does not simply want us to be well in one or two areas of our lives. God doesn't want you to be good emotionally, but limping around physically. God doesn't want you to be good physically, but you jacked up spiritually. God doesn't want you to be good spiritually, but you jacked up emotionally. And all of your relationships are out of whack. And your marriage is injured. And you don't have a good relationship or a healthy relationship with your child or your husband or your spouse or your neighbor or your friend. God wants us to be what? Whole. That means that he has to be able to address every area of our lives. That means I've got to be able to come in and give God an opportunity to do a full diagnostic, a holistic exam on my life, and look at every area and say to me, are you operating as I need you to in every area of your life? Or are there some areas where you're cheating on me? Are there some areas where you're holding out? Are there some areas where you're not giving me access so I can't come in and do what I need to do? Are there some areas where you refuse to come in line with my word? That's good. Because you'll come in line with my word here. You want to believe me for this, but you don't understand it's all connected. And so if you refuse to come in line with my word in your relationship and how you're living and where you're living and who you're sleeping with and how you're talking and what you're watching and what you are and are not doing, then it affects my ability to bless you in your whole life. So we want to be what? Whole. Say, I want to be whole. Come on, say it like you believe it. I want to be whole. That's right. We want to be whole. And so we've got to give God access to every area of our lives. Tonight, we're going to talk about physical healing. Amen? Physical healing. We talked about the other areas. We're going to start out in Luke chapter 17, looking at this story of Jesus and the 10 lepers. Physical healing tends to be, I've learned, the area that we oftentimes think about when it comes to God healing us. And that's good because God can heal us physically. I believe in supernatural healing, by the way. That means that I believe that without medical explanation, that without a doctor doing it, that without surgery, I believe things like cancer can be healed. I believe HIV positive can go to HIV negative. I believe that cells can be put back together. I believe that broken bones can be mended by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in all that. I believe that headaches can be cured and sinuses. I believe that you can go from having a cold to not having a cold by believing God, and God, the power of God can move in your life in that way. I believe that addiction can be healed. Addictions that are chemical and addictions that are spiritual and emotional and physical, when your body becomes addicted to a substance that you ought to never have had in the first place, I believe that God can supernaturally heal you from that. I believe that God can help you to put down cigarettes. You've been on cigarettes, smoking cigarettes for years, and I believe that by the power of God, he can come into your life and give the ability to not pick up cigarettes again. I believe in healing. You can't convince me. I don't care what you think. I'm not here to argue with you. I don't care what you believe either. I'm telling you what I believe as your pastor, and I believe you should believe it too, because let me tell you, every now and then you find yourself in a situation where there's somebody that you can't get next to. There's some help that you need and you can't access. And it's good to know that the power of God is still available, and that when the doctors say no, God can still say yes. So I believe in supernatural healing, and I've been in situations in my life where I've had to believe that God can heal. heal me physically. I tell my wife this story all the time, but man, she thought it was funny at the time. It doggone sure won't funny to me. I remember being in Ghana, and I had been there serving at a church for a little while, and I was told when I got there that I could not, because my system was not used to it, I could not drink water. I couldn't drink the water, right? I was told I could not drink the water. So literally, everywhere that I would go, and in Africa and in many parts of Africa, particularly in West Africa, the water doesn't even come in bottles. It comes in plastic bags. Anybody ever seen that before? It comes in plastic bags. And so you bite the corner and you just suck the water out, right? Comes in plastic bags. So I'm told, you know, you can't drink the water. So I'm like, okay, I won't drink the water. So I don't drink the water. But what I do is take showers. Because I'm not going to be in Africa for 3.5 months and not take a shower. It's hot. And so I'm taking showers, and I'm not thinking about it. But just as I would here, when you take a shower, water gets on your face. Water gets in your eyes. Water gets in your nose. And water gets in your system. So I've been in Ghana now for a few weeks. And I look down, and on my stomach, when I'm getting dressed one day, I see sores on the outside of my body. Because whatever is going on inside my body is causing sores on the outside of my body. And man, I begin to pray and think back. I'm like, what am I doing? I only eat when the pastor tells me it's okay to eat at a certain place. I'm not doing such and such. And then it hits me. It's like God brought it to my mind. Man, you know, it's the water. You're not drinking it, but it's still getting in your mouth, right? So now I got a problem. I immediately make this adjustment, right? From now on, even when I shower, I use bottled water on my head. Okay, so when I get in the shower, and it's cold anyway, so that was like a blessing in some ways. So I get in the shower, and I shower using the water that comes out of the spout, which there's no plumbing. The water that I'm using to take a shower with is water that's pumped from a stream in the neighborhood, put into a bucket on the roof, and gravity is used to pull it through the pipes. Okay, so there's no purification going on. Okay, so I take a shower with that water, which is always cold, praise God. Shoulders down, I used to pump myself up to get in the shower. You can do this. And then I begin to shower with my head. So now I have these sores. So praise be to God, the church I'm serving at is one of the stronger churches in the area. And so they actually have a nurse on staff. So I go see the nurse and I say, man, I got such and such going on. I got these sores. You know, I'm knowing that I need like some kind of severe antibiotics, because if what you got going on the inside of you is so bad, you got sores on the outside of you, you need like shots, antibiotics. I need some in my system immediately. I need a Z-Pack yesterday, times four. So she says, Pastor, no problem. We don't have the medicine that you need here in town. So what I'm going to do is go to Accra, go to the capital, get the medicine that you need, and then I'll bring it back to you. Praise God. Thanks, sis. So day goes by. She goes a couple days. I don't know how long it took, but anyway, she got the medicine. She said, hey, man, I got some medicine for you. So she calls me. I go to the church to pick up the medicine, and the medicine that she brings me that's supposed to cure the issue that I'm having on the inside, which is obviously bacterial and a severe infection that's causing sores on the outside, the medicine that she brings me that's supposed to address this issue that is causing me to break out in sores, I'm infected so bad, is called Neosporin. Now, I'm glad that you are able to laugh. But this is where I am now. I'm in Africa. I'm in a small village on a mountain. I'm not going home for months. The best medicine that they can give me access to quickly is Neosporin. I'm going to have to believe God can heal me. And I don't know how, I don't know what happened. All I know is I began to believe that God can heal. I began to lay hands on my body. I began to confess healing over my body. And in a couple days, it was gone. Now, I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what your issue is, and I don't know what happened inside of me chemically. All I know is the power of God can heal. It can heal. And at some point in your life, you're going to encounter a situation where you're going to have to believe that God can heal. Some of y'all are probably there right now. Come on, somebody. And you've got to believe that God can heal you. Why don't you say it out loud with me? God can heal me. God can heal me of whatever it is. Come on, why don't you grab your faith? Why don't you lay hands on yourself and say, God can heal me. God can heal me of whatever it is. Come on, why don't you rise up in faith and say, God can heal me. God can heal me of whatever it is. Come on, one last time, why don't you say, God can heal me. God can heal me of whatever it is. Come on, if you believe it and receive it now, give them some praise in this house. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Push out doubt. Push out fear. I don't care about the science. I don't care about the evidence. God can heal me. Say yeah.
Amen.
So I'm just here to tell you, I believe God can heal you. Come on, man. I feel that thing now. Come on, somebody. I feel faith in the room now. I feel faith swirling around in this house. I believe God can heal you. I believe that God can heal me. I believe I can lay hands on my son when he gets a cold and say, in the name of Jesus, come out of his body. I believe I can speak life into my wife if she comes to me and says she's not feeling good. I believe I can lay hands on the sick and they'll get well, because that's what God says in his word. I believe in healing, and you should too. Now, one of the things that we've done, and I want you to hear this is really important, and we're going to get into this by the power of the Holy Spirit throughout this lesson. One of the mistakes that we've made in the church when we talk about healing is exempt medicine from the process. That's a mistake. I remember hearing this pastor one time, who's another pastor, who's a Word of Faith pastor, I believe it was. I'm not sure exactly who it was, but anyway, they the cats who really believe in healing. I mean, they get down with it, you know, laying all of that, and people falling under power, they really believe in those things. And he was talking about the fact that we have to, of course, it has to happen by faith, and faith involves, it can involve medicine, it can involve all sorts of different processes. And he was talking about somebody who got excited when they were having a service, believing God for healing, ran down to the altars, threw his glasses down, and stepped on them. Like, well, I don't need these no more. And the pastor said, "Look, bro, you might." And so, what I want to make sure you do by the Spirit is on tonight, I want your understanding to be holistic and sound. Do you hear me by the Spirit? Which means that we don't unhook our belief that God can heal from our belief that he can use medicine and doctors to do it. Do you see that? We don't come to a place where we say we believe God can heal us from cancer, so we're not going to do what they say we need to do. We're not going to take chemo, and we're not going to get radiation, and we're not going to change our diet, and we're not going to eat right. That's foolishness. We're not unhooking them. Do you see that? Do you hear that by the Spirit? But what we are saying is that when medicine goes as far as it can go, the power of God can go further. Do you see that? And it's still available. So it's not that we are unhooking them or believing one over the other. But what we are saying is that we believe that in addition to all of the medical advancements that God has blessed us with, that we believe that God can heal even on top of that. Are you with it? Amen. So don't go home and stop taking your pills and talking about the doctor, telling the doctor it's my fault. I'm going to tell him I don't know who you are. Okay, so Jesus and the 10 lepers, look at this. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. This is what the Bible says. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, I don't know if you can give me more in the monitors, but it would be helpful. Luke 17, 11 through 19 says this. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy, leprosy is incurable. Amen? You with it? Leprosy is something that at this time cannot be cured. In other words, if you have leprosy, you die. And you die a painful death. Your body rots off of you while you're still alive. Teeth fall out, fingernails fall out. It's not good. It's ugly. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood off at a distance, right? Scripture says, and they called out in a loud voice, man, I feel God now, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, let's look at this real quick. Let's just move through this real quickly. 10 brothers have what? They see who? They do what? Okay, good. So the first thing they do is they cry out to him. All right, so you're taking notes now. They cry out to him. Obviously, they believe he can do something about it. Do you see that? Do you see that? They believe he can do something about it. What's interesting is they're still operating within the norms of the society in which they live and the rules by which they're bound, because they don't get close to him. They're doing it in order. You know, sometimes you at the altar, you praying for people and people run up, grab your hand and put it on their own head. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Can the Lord speak to me about praying for you? They're in order. They believe he can do something about it, though, Minister Tamika. So they call out to him and they say, have mercy on us. And when he hears them and when he saw them, he tells them what to do. That's the next part. They believe he can. They ask him to. He speaks to them. He tells them what to do. Go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were what? So he told them what to do. And what did they do? They did it. So they followed instructions. Oh, wow. He told them what to do. And they did it. He told them what they believed he could. He told them what to do, and they did it. Amen? This communicates that they really authentically had a desire to get better and to be healed. Come on. That's good. Because if they didn't have a desire, they wouldn't have met up together and said, look, we need to go find this brother named Jesus. They wouldn't have called out to him. And they would not have done what he said do unless they were serious about it. Those steps communicate to God and to others that you're serious about getting better. Come on. Come on. See, it's not enough for you to simply sit back and say, I want to be better or I want to be healed. That's step number one. You do have to have that desire. And we're going to look at that in a second. You have to have that desire. Do you see that? You got to want to be healed. You got to want to get better. You got to want God to do something. You have to have that desire. Do you have to have that desire? Yes, you absolutely do. But then when the instructions come, you got to follow through with it. What I love about it is Jesus doesn't chase them down. He doesn't go grab them. Tell them, look, I'm going to make, open up, take this pill. He gives them instructions, and it's up to them to go do it. Come on, somebody. And I just want to tell you by the Spirit, your Bible is filled with instructions. The Word of God is full of instructions. What to do, what not to do, how to treat people, how to not treat people, what to do, whatever to do. Your doctor will give you instructions. What to eat and what not to eat. What to wear, what not to wear, where to go, what not to go, what you need in your system and what you shouldn't put in your system, what you're allergic to, what you can and cannot handle. It's up to who to follow in instructions? You. You want to be healed? You got to follow the instructions. Amen? And holistically, when I'm willing to reach out and ask for help, and when I'm willing to follow through and do what God tells me to do or what others tell me to do, what it communicates is that I'm serious about being healed. That speaks of something called desire. You've got to, first of all, you've got to want to be healed. You've got to want to be healed, and that deals with desire. Look at this word desire. That's what they had. They had desire. They wanted to get better. They wanted to be healed. They wanted to be stronger. They knew that where they were was not where they wanted to stay. And so they came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, do something about it. And Jesus said, if you do this, it will work. And they did what Jesus said to. Go do this. As a matter of fact, I backtracked that. Jesus didn't even tell them it would work. He just gave them the instructions, and they had enough faith and sense to do it. So you've got to, first of all, you've got to have the desire. Desire to wish or long for or to crave. You got to want it. Do you see that? You got to want it. Whatever area God is trying to address in your life, whatever area you really want to be healed, I'm not talking about just whether it's losing weight or whether it's your emotional self or whether it's your physical body or whether it's your spirit or your mind. You've got to seriously want this thing. I can't want it for you more than you want it for yourself. As your pastor, we can get together, we can preach to you until the doggone paint falls off the wall. Pews roll up and the rocks cry out too. But if you don't do what the instructions say do, can't do nothing for you. What's interesting about our church, and I can speak about it at this church, you come to Higher Ground, you come to church on Sunday morning, I'm not saying this ministry is perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I don't have flaws. I'm not saying anybody don't have flaws. I can't tell you this. You're getting good word up in this house. And I can tell you this too by the Spirit. You do not have the excuse of saying you lack knowledge and don't know. Nope. You ain't got that choice. You can't say that. That ain't gonna work in your argument pile. What you can say is that you didn't do what God was preaching to you. Come on, man. But it's available to you up in this house, and you ought to, by the Spirit, real quick, just let me just pause for 30 seconds and say, you ought to thank God for a house where you can get good word. Because I'm here to tell you, if you like me, sometimes you got to search for good word. Good word is not everywhere. The word is still rare. But when you get to a place where you can get good sound teaching on a consistent basis, good sound, and I ain't just talking about good, but anointed. It's got to be anointed. It's got to be oily. It's got to have some yoke-breaking power on it. You ought to say, thank you, God, for that. Because you could be anywhere. You could be sitting down with some frozen chosen right now, just going through the motions. But when you get under the word of God and it bears fruit in your life and you want more of him and you feel his power and his presence, when that comes, you ought to say thank you. Because he could pour himself out anywhere, but he chooses to do it here. So you gotta have desire. I love the fact that it says you gotta ask for it. To desire something, it's something I'm asking for. You know, it's something I'm asking for. God, make my marriage better. God, make my mind better. God, change my desires. God, come on, preach real. God, deal with my sexual appetite. There you go. Come on, get this preaching. God, deal with my thought life. God, deal with my desire for impure things. God, deal with my loneliness. God, help my heart to heal. God, deal with my unforgiveness. God, deal with my unrepentant self. You got to be asking for that thing. Come on, man. Bible says you have not because you got to be asking for it. You gotta figure out what you want to ask. What are you asking for? You find out raises being given out, I bet you go ask for a doggone raise. You can ask for healing too. A longing, a craving, as for something that brings satisfaction or enjoyment. That's preaching right there. That word satisfaction, good God, that preaches to me. In other words, you shouldn't be satisfied when you know you ain't whole yet. Come on, somebody. You shouldn't be comfortable with living below the godly standard for your life. You shouldn't be okay with just sleeping around with somebody you're in a relationship with and you ain't married. You shouldn't be okay with consuming things and putting things in your mind that are not of God. You shouldn't be okay with your emotional self still bound in a relationship that you got out of a long time ago. You shouldn't be okay with having your mind focused on things that are not fruitful or of salt. You shouldn't be okay with not being whole. Why are you comfortable? And you know your marriage is on the rocks. Why are you just chilling? Why are you comfortable? And you're not moving in the direction that God wants you to move. Why are you comfortable? Something's wrong. And I pray on tonight, God begins to agitate you. Agitate your spirit in that area and say, you got to do better here. Don't get complacent. There's more that I have for you. Because God says, I want to elevate you, but I ain't elevating no mess and say so you can get up there and then tell them it's me. No. God bless me. No. Don't blaspheme me like that. I've got to get you right first before you can go to where I need you to. That's good. You preach it, Pastor. Oh, my God, you preach it. As with all other forms of healing, you have to physically desire or want to be healed. Do you see that? Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's move through it. And so you've got to be willing to do what's necessary in order to get healed. That's the second thing. This is good preaching. This is very pragmatic preaching on tonight. You've got to, first of all, you've got to want it. Do you see that by the Spirit? Do you got to want? How many people want to be healed, want to be better, want to be whole? Good, you got step one covered. Some of y'all could not convince me. I'm just looking at your faces, looking at your body posture. You don't look like you want anything but for me to stop talking so you can go home and get to sleep. And that's important. Why? Because the body talks a lot about the posture of the believer when interacting with God. Preach. And all throughout Scripture, you notice that the Bible makes reference to the fact that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knelt down to pray. The Bible talks about people lying down and getting down prostrate before the Spirit of God. Jesus talks about, and God talks about the fact that we're supposed to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. How are you going to be doing all that and you sitting back asleep, one eye up, one eye down, looking all laid back like you want a recliner? This is the house of God where you come to get the word that the Bible says you cannot live without. Because you can't live by bread alone. So when you come in, you ought to get into a posture of receptivity. Do you know that if you really have a desire to be healed, you got to have a desire for the word? And if you have a desire for the word, I can tell, and God can too, because you look like you want it, you sit up like you want it, you focus like you want it, you act like you want it. How you gonna say, I wanna grow in God and I have a desire for God, but I can't even focus on the word? That's not to convict you, and that's not to embarrass you, and you can feel free to send all types of nasty emails if you want to. That's because I want you to get everything that God has. And I know what that's like. I was at a, and we were, at a, we were, my wife and I were out this weekend because we got a chance to spend time building up our marriage. We went to a marriage retreat, had an amazing time. And I was in a session, and one of the presenters, he said something amazing. He said, listen, I know we've had a long day. A lot of information has come to you. He said, brothers, we were in a male-only session at the time. He said, listen, if you get tired, stand up. He said, do whatever you've got to do. Oh, man, that thing blessed me. He said, do whatever you've got to do to make sure you get this word. Oh, man. And you know what? When you have a desire, you'll do that. I know you're right. You find out, teacher gonna give out all the answers to the test. All you gotta do, as tired as you are, is stay up and listen to write them down. Baby, I bet you be up. I bet you be sitting closer.
Look, 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 let it preach. I bet you be on the front row. I bet you position yourself so you can see clearly and hear clearly. Why? Because you have a desire for the information that's coming your way. I'm trying to help God trying to help somebody on tonight. The same thing is true about the word. If you know that when you sit over here, as opposed to when you sit over there, you can focus better. Sit where you can focus better. If you know you're less likely to check your phone when you get a text message, if you're sitting up close so pastor can see you do it, you need to sit up close and turn that sucker off. If you know that you do better with taking notes on a pad than on a phone so you don't get distracted, bring a notebook and a pen. Do whatever you've got to do. Why? Because that demonstrates that you have a desire. Preach. I gotta want this thing. And why, pastor, do I need to do all that with the word? Because I grew up and was taught that when I come to church, all I gotta do is just sit there and let whatever y'all do happen, and then I can go home and mind my own business. Because if you want something from God, you gotta act like it. So watch this as we deal with desire. There was a woman with an issue of blood. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 5 and verse 21, and this was after he had been talked to by Jairus, that when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. And while he was by the lake, then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded. Do you see that real quick? He ain't go up and be like, yo, Jesus, I need you to help me real quick. Look, this is a leader of the synagogue. Understand he's the equivalent of a major politician of the time. Understand that he's a bigwig in the society. He's somebody. Do you understand? But when he sees Jesus, he needs something from him. And so I don't know if he got his three-piece suit on. I don't know if he's wearing his Ferragamos. I don't know. But when he sees Jesus, the Bible says that he runs up and he kneels down and he earnestly pleads with him. That's posture. Come on, man. That's body language. And what does that say to Jesus? He has a desire to get something from him. Good God Almighty. You know what? Good God. When I don't know about anybody else. This is just honesty and transparency. I don't know if anybody else ever feels this way. But when I'm in worship in the sanctuary, I want to worship God in such a way that I want to stand out. I want him to see me when everybody else is worshiping. I want him to say, that's Omari. I see Omari down there. It's not that I don't want him to see you, but I want to stand out in God's eyes. I want him to say there's something unique about his worship. There's something unique and special about his prayer. He's taking the time to focus on me. I see that he has a heart that's turned towards me, because the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro, searching for a heart that's fully committed to him. I want to get God's attention. When I preach, I want to get his attention. When I speak to people on his behalf, I want to get his attention. When I pray and when I humble myself, I want to get his attention. And so I'll put myself in a posture that communicates that I'm serious. How serious is the cat sitting next to you on Sunday morning reading the New York Times on their phone while the preaching is going on? How serious is the usher in the back gossiping and reading the bulletin while the preaching of the prayer is happening? All right. He pleaded earnestly with him, or the usher, or the preacher, or the deacon, or the pastor, or to anybody. Trustee, elder, anybody, musician, anybody. What does it communicate when worship is happening and you? All around the sanctuary, people, Father, we bless your name. Musicians roaring, preaching, happening.
What does it communicate?
What would you think if you God sitting down watching you? Let me ask you this, intelligent black people. Who would you give something to? The person who is crying out to you, calling on your name desperately, humbling themselves in a posture of worship, or the person next to them checking their watch to see when it's going to be over because they're thinking about what they've got to do next. I know who I would give something to, but thank God that he's not like me. And not like us. But I wonder if sometimes he feels the same way I would feel. Oof. Woo. About us, if I was doing my best to teach Khalil something that I knew he was going to need to be successful as he grows, and all he did was look around me to watch the TV screen. I wonder if, because he is a father too, I wonder if that's how he feels. I wonder if when he see, this is good. I wonder if when he watches you on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night, beyond that, in your home, but really, come on, I'm gonna give you a break today. But let's just focus on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. I wonder if when he looks at you, he sees desire. I wonder if I had the ability right now to stand back and push a button so that one of those little thought bubbles could appear over all of your heads. I wonder what yours would say, and 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 yours would say. I wonder how many people's thought buttons would be saying, how is this going to affect me, and how can I focus on this, and how is it God going to do this, and I need to get better. And how many people would say, dinner, tired, please shut up. Ooh, I hate when he does this. He's too critical. Oh, my gosh. Pastor gets on my nerves. This is what I'm talking about. This is why I don't want to go to Redeemer no more. This is why I said it. But Jairus was serious about getting something from God. So he pleaded, fell at his feet. Location is important. Posture is important. So he gets down at Jesus' feet, pleaded with him, my little daughter's dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be what? Healed and live. Because he wanted something. Do you see it? He had desire. So Jesus went with him. Let me just say, by the Spirit, I can't get off it. I got to stick with it for just one more second. You know, when you show up for class, you're in school, you know, that's probably why some of y'all jokers flunked half the, because look, when you showed up, were you prepared? Did you come with your books and your homework and your pens and your pad, or did you just come? You got all that stuff, but you ain't, we're not talking about you couldn't afford it and you couldn't do, we're not talking about that. Don't do that. We're talking about you have what you needed, but you're just so unorganized and unprepared to receive that you show up for work without it. And you know you coming to a place where you're going to receive godly wisdom, godly teaching, and godly preaching. And I don't know about you, but I know what happens for me. Every time I come in here and we get together, I learn something I didn't know before. You don't want to bring anything to write that down on? You don't want to start a note section in your iPhone for learning about God? You don't want to have a section of your tablet
where you dedicate information. You don't ever think, maybe I should bring my laptop so that I can. Everybody in here just got amazing photographic memories. So.